set. Thank you. Roger's my technical advisor with this very complicated instrument here. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Amen. Now let's go over to Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Amen. Okay, again, as I mentioned earlier, in light of the sermon, what we'll have is a lesson. And this will be like a class. So I will ask questions, and I will expect answers. I don't like rhetorical questions. And if you have questions, please let me know.
Where's your microphone?
Thank you. I need all the help I can get. And I need my Bible, too. Roger, if I have it back here, is that good?
Okay.
What's that? Well, I'm afraid I'll knock it off. I probably would. If I don't speak loudly enough, let me know. This is Bob's signal, but if you want to just say louder, that's okay. What I believe is best to do today is to talk to you about some theological concepts like worldview, for starters. Can anyone define that for me? It's been popular, well-known in theology since the great Francis Schaeffer wrote about it starting back in the 1980s. Anyone want to take a shot at it? No one? Okay, yeah. I'm really disappointed in some of y'all for not taking this on. But worldview, and you just gotta chill. Don't be nervous. Okay, worldview is what a person uses in his intellectual power to make decisions and decide what is true, what is false, what is good, what is evil, and so on. And of course,
we had a Christian worldview. The opponents of Christianity have drastically different worldviews. I've done a lot of study on Islam, and theirs is pretty frightening, believe me. Now, again, Francis Schaeffer, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, made the concept of worldview well known, and it's commonly taught now in Orthodox seminaries. Now, in my class, we've refined thinking. Can you hear me okay? Any problems, Angelina? We've refined worldview into a concept called paradigm. And a paradigm is a more specific description of how one makes decisions and reaches conclusions. So in our Christian paradigm, we have crucial things like, number one, God is there. One of Francis Schaeffer's first books is titled The God Who Is There. So God is there. God has spoken. He has given us his written revelation. That written revelation, the Holy Scriptures, is inerrant. It is fully truthful. It is fully authoritative. So when we think about anything, no matter how trivial, we keep in mind what our Christian paradigm is. The Holy Scriptures are inerrant truth and fully authoritative. Okay, any questions on that so far? Now, there's no easy way to say this. The Christian church in the United States and around the world is at war. Thank the Lord, it is not a shooting war. It is a very vigorous and in some cases vicious ideological war on our minds. And the last 2 years, a lot of this has become extremely evident. We don't know who's in charge of the executive branch of the federal government. It's obvious that Joseph Biden is not in charge. I'm convinced that whoever is in charge, and maybe it's more than one person, maybe it's a junta of some kind, they are communists. And that's based on the principles they espouse and the actions they take. Karl Marx was virulently opposed to Christianity. He advocated everything he could think of to destroy the Christian church. His followers, of course, followed his lead. The most well-known ideological Marxist is named Antonio Gramsci. He's an Italian, and he was a very deep thinker, much more than Marx, I think. And what he taught was, look, this idea of violent revolution in Marxism is ineffective. It's not going to work. What we need to do as Marxists is we need to infiltrate all of the major institutions in Western society. And when I say Western, what do I mean?
United States.
And?
Canada.
What?
South America.
Not so much. Usually it means Europe. Europe and the English-speaking parts in North America. And let's throw in Australia. Despite, well, I don't know where Australia is now. They're in such deep trouble. But anyway, so Gramsci said, we need to get our dedicated people into the colleges and universities, into the churches, into the civil government, into large corporations, and start the revolution from there. Take over these institutions, and then it'll be over. Communism will prevail. Speaking of institutions, what are the four authoritative governments that God has ordained? Now, some of y'all have been in my class, I better get this.
Family.
Okay.
Church.
Family and church.
Self.
Self.
And federal government.
Civil. Civil government. Okay. So, looking at it from the foundation up, we have self-government, or scripture usually says self-discipline. And then family government, scripture has a lot to say about that, like especially in Ephesians chapter 5. Church government, scripture has some significant things to say about that too. And then the civil government. And what we discussed in class was if the self-government, self-discipline is not functioning well, or functioning poorly, families are in trouble. If families are in trouble, the church is probably going to have lots of problems. And if all three of those are having serious problems, in other words, they're not following God's law, the civil government cannot possibly be godly, as it's required to do by Scripture. Remember, Romans 13, the civil authority is to punish evil and reward the good. And he is given the sword. That's the word Paul uses in Romans 13. And of course that means he, the civil authority, is given the authority to punish, including execution.
Any questions on that so far? Okay, y'all have got that down. There's no questions at all, right? Right, Monica?
Right.
Okay. Now it's obvious that the West has turned its back on God, and God, in his revelation that he's given us, the scriptures, he makes it very clear that for those organizations, nations, families, who turn their back on him, there will be consequences. And they're all negative. The most concentrated chapter on this is Deuteronomy 28, a long list of blessings for obedience and a long list of curses for disobedience. I think the most concise summary of the problems that nations like ours, which has turned its back on God, is in Jeremiah chapter 9. Starting at verse 12. Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? Okay, now, that's metaphorical language. You know how to think about that in America. That's Black Lives Matter
and their Confederates, you know, burning down cities like Minneapolis and taking over Portland, I think it was. Children mutilating their bodies to change from one sex to the other. The Justice Department, I'll put justice in quotes, getting a special FBI strike force for some international terrorist organization? No. For parents who go into school boards and complain about what's being taught. And the list goes on and on. You all know the list. Why has the land been ruined and laid waste like a desert that no one can cross? The Lord said, it is because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed me or followed my law. Instead, they have followed the stubbornness of their hearts. They have followed the Baals. Baal was one of the abominable idols of the Canaanites. Consequences. Yes, men and women, nations, families can turn their backs on God, but there's a price to be paid. A few more specific items of how the enemies of the Christian faith, the enemies of God, are trying to, and in many cases succeeding so far, to destroy the church, to destroy the family. And that they're going after the family first as their focus in many ways. You all, well, probably most of you followed the election for governor in Virginia. The Democrat candidate blatantly said, parents have no say whatsoever regarding what is taught in the schools. Well, thank the Lord, the voters of Virginia said, buddy, you're out of here. We're not voting for you. And you probably heard about some of the horrific sexual assaults that went on in those schools in Virginia, and the school boards covered up, tried to make it go away. We have some localities, states where children can receive a vaccine, which is questionable, and that's putting it mildly, without their parents' consent. There are schools in California now that have, I think the term is trans closets, and if their parents don't approve of their idea to become a trans, you know, you know what I mean, then they go to the high school and they can go in this closet and get some different clothes to wear. When they get ready to go home, they go change into the clothes where the parents won't know what's going on. Again, here's the state, the government, undermining the parents' authority. Y'all are good Bible students, so you know, in the book of Genesis, God says, I created them male and female. Now, it's been a while since I worked as a design engineer, but my math's still good enough to know that adds up to 2. Not 72, which some colleges and universities claim now there are 72 genders. The One might say the ultimate abomination that has occurred in the United States began on 22 January 1973. Now, what happened on that day?
Roe versus Wade.
Okay, which said what?
Abortion.
Which decreed by, it was either 6 out of 7 of the black robe judges, that the murder of a child in his mother's womb is legal. In New York and Virginia, as of about 2 years ago, the murder of a child outside the womb is legal. Let's look at some scriptures. Okay, I quoted from Genesis 1. I'll read you the exact text in the NIV. By the way, let me put in a plug for the scholars that translate. Did you know for a long time in the early church, believers did not have the scriptures in a language that they knew? And starting in the 14th century, some very brave, knowledgeable, godly men started to translate the scriptures, like John Wycliffe, for example. Several of them paid with their lives because the church authorities at the time did not want the scriptures in the hands of ordinary people. You know, today we have, I don't know how many translations into English, maybe a couple of dozen, Bob, but it's a huge number. Frankly, some of them aren't too good. But some of them, like the NIV, copyright 1984 or earlier, the ESV, New King James, are excellent. But once in a while, stop and thank the men who labored for years, literally, to produce these excellent translations that we can read. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. By the way, if you hear someone say, well, men are just a higher form of animal, no. What's your answer to them? They're wrong, partly wrong.
In the image of God.
Yeah. Men and women are made in the image of God. Lions and field mice are not. Big difference. Big difference. Monica, you let me know if I run over. Okay.
When is run over time?
I think 10 till. Is that what you said?
Yeah, okay. If you're on a roll, I'm going to let you roll.
Okay, well, so it's Monica's fault, and guys, I'm innocent. Okay. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear a woman's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Now, in some translations, it uses the word, starts with an A.
Abomination.
That's probably the most powerful word, negative word, used in the scriptures. Now, if God uses that term for just changing clothes, what do you think he thinks about a man or woman who mutilates their body to become, quote unquote, another sex? You know, I shudder to think of what God would have to say about that. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Again, are the scriptures clear on this? Is there any question? No. But of course, the forces of evil that are promoting all this stuff not only don't care about the scriptures, they denigrate the scriptures. The sad part is there are some of our brothers and sisters in the faith that are pretty ignorant of the scriptures too. And that is really sad. Romans chapter 1. A chapter that some pastors have gotten into serious trouble for reading in public. Verses 21 and 22. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. We are inundated by fools, and they are evil fools. Ephesians 4, verses 17 and 18. You must no longer live, in this translation, the NIV, the word Gentiles is used. Some translations will say pagans, and I think it makes more sense to me if pagans are in there. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, etc., etc. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Like 72 genders, like a man can decide he wants to be a woman, like a woman can decide she wants to be a man. These are myths.
When I'm in church and the pastor stomps all over my feet every Sunday in the sermon, I feel chastised, but it does not turn me away from church because I trust that the Word of God is truth and is good for me for everything.
Amen.
And I feel so sorry for people who are so afraid of man or so full of stupid pride that they think they have a special something that comes to you out of the clear blue, that they have been given some special information. And you look at some of these rock and roll churches and how they think that the way they act towards people who are sexually immoral is reflecting God's love. And how many of them, we all sin. We all are going to sin. All of us sin. But I learned from Brant Wilkie, those of us inside the fold, our sin bothers us more. And it's just like, you know, I'm not afraid to come to church and get my feet stomped on because they deserve to get stomped on, and I need and I love to hear it. But what do we do with this train wreck? Only God can slow and stop this the train. But back in the 80s, there was no talk of this. And when they first...
No talk of what?
No talk of sexual immorality. Well, people were living together, but the love and appreciation and the glorifying of homosexuality.
That's
and
not,
then okay. when the first lessening of the morals, they said, this is it, no more. Well, look where it's gone. And now the hot topic is pedophilia. And it still makes people sick to their stomachs. But guess what? It's the next thing to become an accepted thing. It is the next thing. It is the hot topic.
I've frequently said in my class, when God and His law are abandoned, the pit of depravity has no bottom. So you may be right. If Christ doesn't come back before that occurs, or if He doesn't grant us in America genuine repentance and revival, that may come about. And that is reminiscent of Romans 1, chapter 28. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind. And brothers and sisters, we are inundated with ideas that come from depraved minds. Okay, let me read a passage from Isaiah 58, which I think it gives us some hope. You know, we talked in class this morning about, is there hope? And yes, there is. And frankly, one of the readings that Greg picked out, Psalm 2, very graphically exhibits how God is so much more powerful than the lords of the earth that there's just no comparison. Listen to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 58, starting at verse 6. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and He will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. Amen.
This godly man teaches us in Sunday school every morning at 9:30. We'll start serving coffee shop.